my friends. Good morning. Welcome into another edition of JMAC Show Prep. This is the part of the podcast where I just read the stories that I flagged and I give you my first blush response. So a good opportunity for you to hear some of the news. I think what happens a lot of times is you may have heard the headline or you may have heard people posting about the headline, but you haven't read the actual story. So maybe this is a good chance for you and me to read through the story and see what is really going on. So again, these are the stories that I put in my show prep folder, and I haven't read them yet. So let's dive in. And remember, I've got a nice sound effect here as we move from one story to the next. This sound, not that sound, this sound is your cue that we are moving on to the next story. Let's start out with redistricting here in the state of Utah and the evil word gerrymandering. And I've been telling you that we have set up just a ridiculous situation in the state of Utah where by referendum, we voted to have an independent redistricting commission set up to make recommendations to the state legislature. And then the state legislature can accept those or deny them, and then they can vote however they want. Now, anyone who's familiar with how this stuff works, I think most people knew that this was going to set up a conflict. And I think we hoped in our hearts, because I was in favor of this referendum, I think we hoped in our hearts, deep down, that the state legislature would at least consider what is being presented to them. But look, the reality is they're not going to. And so what you're left with is the map that is supposed to be independent and then the map that is presented by the state legislature. Which map do you think is going to make it through? We all know the answer to this. And so what's going to happen is the Democrats are going to cry redistricting. And then the Republicans are going to say, no, we listened to everybody. We did this listening tour. But the writing was already on the wall here. Is anything happening so far that we didn't predict that would happen at the beginning of this whole process? So let's see where we are at with that intro. So this is from the Salt Lake Tribune. Legislative redistricting website overwhelmed, leaving public unable to comment on the online maps. Utahns rushing to submit their comments about the Legislative Redistricting Committee's proposed electoral boundaries have caused the website to come to a standstill. Around noon on Monday, just 3 hours before lawmakers began the first and only in-person public hearing about their proposed electoral maps, the My Districting Utah Legislative Redistricting Committee mapping website was unable to take like, dislike, and opinion comments submitted by the public. Utah Senate Deputy Chief of Staff Andrea Peterson told the Salt Lake Tribune that the legislative staff was aware of the issue and that they had been in contact with CityGate, the group hosting the mapping site, to resolve the issue of the redistricting website running slower than it should and to address any issues. CityGate said in its own statement that it was actively working to resolve the issue. The site has not been shut down, but is experiencing significant volume of users. So obviously, Utahns care about this issue. Some users may be experiencing performance issues. CityGate staff will continue to work on this until the problem is resolved. A test comment submitted by the Salt Lake Tribune shortly before the 3 p.m. committee hearing was still processing at 4:30 p.m. It also appeared that no additional comments had been successfully submitted Monday afternoon. Peterson added that there are other avenues for the public to submit their comments about the legislature's once-in-a-decade reshaping of electoral boundaries. Quote, the website is one in many ways for individuals to provide feedback. individuals can and have submitted comments directly to legislators, as well as attend the public hearing in person and online. And, of course, the Democrats have cried gerrymandering. The Republicans are saying that there is no gerrymandering. This is based upon the will of the people. I have looked at the two maps. This is not really the best forum to go through the maps. I would like to do that when the ability to comment live is available. So it is my current plan to do that tonight during our JMAC Live at 9:30 p.m. I will show you the two maps. I will tell you that between the two maps, I prefer the one presented by the Independent Redistricting Commission. And it's interesting that the one excuse that I hear being used by Republicans as to why they drew the map up the way they did is because they want rural Utah to be represented. But rural Utah is represented in the Independent Commission's map. So beyond that, I'm wondering why they think their map is superior to the other map. Now, I will add, you know, it's an interesting discussion here because those people who are saying that the map needs to carve out at least one district for a Democrat, I don't know if those people understand, but what they're asking for is gerrymandering. And those people who want the map to represent Republican control or maintain it, they're asking for gerrymandering. So it feels like at least on both of the extreme sides, both sides want and support gerrymandering. What I want is for the map to be drawn up based upon geographical interests and needs and to be divided equally and to not have politics involved in the equation. And that was supposed to be the goal of the Independent Redistricting Committee. Now, when I look at the map of the Independent Committee, I think they did their job. And I am in support of that map. I will be able to sleep much better at night with that map, believing that people were given their best shot at representation within the congressional districts. And keep in mind, everything I'm talking about today has to do with the congressional districts. That's where most of the controversy lies. So anyway, join me tonight at 9:30 p.m. live on Facebook and YouTube, and I will show you the maps and we'll take live comment from you, even though the legislature site will go down, is down and can't take comment. I will take comment from you, and I want to know if you think it's okay to gerrymander in favor of the left, but not the right or the other way around. Let me know what you think. All right, moving on to the next screaming banner headline. GOP state senator says Big Bird is a communist. This is Wendy Rogers from Arizona. Ted Cruz also got in on this. Here's the story. Sesame Street's Big Bird has long advocated for children's health, including vaccination campaigns going back to the 1970s. But COVID, having claimed 750,000 lives in the U.S. alone, has become a right-wing political death cult. Who's writing this story? Let's see. This is from Boing Boing. Bottom line is Wendy Rogers. Who else? I had another story here. Ted Cruz. After Big Bird's official Twitter account shared the Sesame Street character had gotten vaccinated, prominent conservative and anti-vaxxer figures criticized the message. Ted Cruz tweeted out that it was propaganda, children propaganda. And I'm just sitting here just baffled once again by those who I used to call members of my party, you know I've left the party now, looking at confirmed tried, tested, proven medical advice, sound medicine that was, by the way, pushed through by a Republican president. A Republican president who has taken the vaccine, and watching them spin out of control over the most ridiculous things. In what world is it wrong to advocate for a proven, tried, tested remedy against a virus during a pandemic? In a world where it's all become politicized. And it's one of the main reasons why I left the party. I cannot abide by it. I cannot stand this choice or this decision. As I have said over and over again, if you want to fight for civil liberties, then knock yourself out. But going against the science, the overwhelming science, downplaying the vaccine, calling it propaganda to have your child vaccinated when it was only approved after all of the standard methodology. And you know what they'll say? They'll say, well, children don't need this. It doesn't affect them. And listen, that's nonsense. It's nonsense. Do the numbers of hospitalizations go way down in children? Absolutely, it does. But children who get this, I shared the story with you just the other day about children just in the state of Utah who get this, who end up hospitalized. You're talking about major potential health issues. And the odds that they get those health issues from having COVID are so much higher than the odds of any negative impact from the vaccine. And that's what's so mind-blowing about this. Overwhelming scientific evidence that the vaccine is safe and effective and could save your child's life, could save them from major medical problems. Whereas if they get the virus, the chances that they do have those problems over having been vaccinated are way higher. It's just mind-blowing to me. How do you stand by this? Big Bird or anybody else recommending a vaccine to your children is not a violation of your civil rights. Not to mention that vaccines have been required at a school level in just about every state that I know of, as long as I've been alive or as long as I can remember, without the cries for civil liberties. And you may say, well, this hasn't been tested like the other vaccines. Well, if you believe that, I'm going to suggest you haven't researched how this has been tested. I'm going to suggest that you don't understand the approval process that is required to get this done and passed through. I'm going to suggest that you don't understand our long history with vaccines, that we are getting better and better and faster and faster. And that is not a sign that things are rushed. That is a sign that we are getting better and we are learning more. Now, if this was a video from the government that was forcing your children to get vaccinated, and it involved something outside of their health, then call it propaganda, call it something else. But I'm here to tell you, the vaccine will save more children's lives, and it will save them from health problems. Will it be fewer children than are affected as adults? Yeah, absolutely, it will. But when you have all the evidence in the world to support the fact that the vaccine can save children's lives, Think about this, Republicans. Save children's lives. And your answer is, well, not a lot of children die from it. Wouldn't you want to save their lives? Weren't we supposed to be the party of pro-life? The odds that they die from COVID go up dramatically without the vaccine. Is it still high compared to adults? No, it's not. But if you can save children and you have no evidence to back up that this is going to kill children, that the vaccine is going to kill children, what warped world are you in? That it is propaganda to share a way for you to potentially save a child's life. That's propaganda. Okay. All right. I'm just curious, would you call it propaganda if it was Big Bird and the flu shot? Just curious. Just wondering. And then to add to the other bizarre madness going on with COVID, we have an athlete who when Aaron Rodgers was asked about whether or not he had been vaccinated, I would prefer that information be between him and his employer, not between him and the public. The public can ask, but I think his response and any other athlete, if they say that's between me and my doctor and my employer, then I just wish that that's what everybody would say. Aaron Rodgers is in trouble because he said to the public he was immunized. Okay, he lied. All right. That's not what is blowing my mind either here. What is blowing my mind is that headline. Aaron Rodgers says he's taking Joe Rogan's advice on treating COVID. You have world medical knowledge in agreement over how to treat this vaccine, how to treat this virus. The vaccine is saving millions of lives. The people who are getting the vaccine are not dying. The people who are not getting the vaccine are dying. And instead of going to your doctor or trusting the world's medical advice, you're going to go to a talk show host. And go in that direction. Okay. Can I just say something? Please, 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 please hear me now. Please, please, please hear this very clearly. I believe the vaccine is effective. I have brought to you the evidence to support that. I have looked into all of the evidence that has been presented to me, the quote evidence to not believe it, all of the conspiracies, everything around ivermectin. I've looked into all of that, but please, please, please never, ever, ever make a medical choice for your body from something I have said. Please, please, I don't want to hear that. Please. I want you to hear what I have researched and the conclusions that I have come to. But when it comes to what you put into your body, please go and see your doctor. Do not trust Jay McFarland for your medical advice. Do not trust Joe Rogan for your medical advice. Please, please, please. Joe Rogan is out there acting like he knows how to read a medical study and that he knows more than epidemiologists who have spent lifetimes of research. And Joe Rogan is out there reading some study that he has found. Please, 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 I beg of you. I am not a doctor. I do not play one on the radio. all the best that I can hope for is that we take the claims against COVID and we address them. And that I share with you the studies that I see as best as I can interpret them. But I've also had on the state epidemiologist for you. Not so you can believe me, but so you can go to your doctor. And is using a dewormer, ivermectin, to treat COVID. And I shared with you, COVID, when this first came out, over 100 studies over ivermectin. And about 30% of them found some benefit from ivermectin. But the problem was it would have to be in doses high enough that it could kill you. So they moved on. Because that's what you do in science. And now everybody's just reaching for straws. I saw it the other day. Somebody said, look, I can't remember the agency that is requiring that Afghanistani refugees, when they come into the country, that they are treated with ivermectin. And people are like, see, no. No, you cannot go out and cherry pick facts and make them fit into your viewpoint. You can't do it. This ivermectin has been required for refugees long before COVID came along. Why? To treat parasites before they come into the country. And it is at doses that kill parasites, not doses that kill COVID or treat COVID. People say it's been approved for use in humans for years. Well, how long has Viagra been approved for use in humans? What if I told you Viagra treats COVID? And the only thing that I could tell you is it's been approved for use in humans. Stop. We just got to stop. Please, please, please. Please. Talk to your doctor. Trust your doctor who swore an oath to do no harm. And if you don't think you can trust your doctor, if you think your doctor and every other doctor on this planet has been bought off, and you think the people who have the answers are Joe Rogan and Tucker Carlson? My goodness, I just can't believe it. And I cannot believe that the Republican Party is helping peddle this stuff. I just cannot believe it. And I hope Aaron Rodgers survives it. But part of me is like, if he does, he's going to become one more voice, one more anecdotal voice for people to make terrible health decisions because Joe Rogan took ivermectin and he survived it, and Aaron Rodgers took ivermectin and they survived it. Not even realizing that in other occasions they would say, we don't need to get vaccinated or force vaccinations, or even social distance, or wear masks, or shutdown, because young people and healthy people, they'll get it and they'll survive it. So if I asked you, what are the chances of Joe Rogan surviving this and Aaron Rodgers surviving this, you would probably say pretty high because of their age group and because they're both physically fit, healthy individuals who take care of themselves, right? So you'd say to me that they're not going to be a huge issue, probably. But then we turn around and say, oh, they survived it and they took ivermectin. Therefore, ivermectin is a miracle cure that nobody wants you to know about. Why? Yeah, you can tell I'm a little bit frustrated. Just a little bit. Okay, I think I've got one more for you here. This is outside of politics. I found this to be very interesting. This is in the Deseret News. A new tool predicts with 91% accuracy which teenagers have suicidal thoughts and behaviors, according to researchers. If this is real, this is significant. Now, I'm not sure exactly how to use it with all the privacy issues and concerns, but let's read the story and see if they address that. Researchers from BYU, Johns Hopkins, and Harvard have created a computer algorithm they say predicts with 91% accuracy which youths have suicidal thoughts and behaviors. Suicides across the nation dropped very slightly during the pandemic after nearly 20 years of increases, according to federal data. Still, an astounding 46,000 Americans across age groups took their own lives during 2020, a number far higher than the entire student body of any of Utah's colleges or universities in a given year. But a new tool has been created that could help parents, teachers, school counselors, and others identify youths who might be most at risk for suicide with an eye toward targeting interventions. Researchers from Brigham Young University, Johns Hopkins, and Harvard have created a computer algorithm they say predicts with 91% accuracy which youths have suicidal thoughts and behaviors. The study's machine learning approach was explored this week in the journal Plus One. Let's see, skipping ahead, the algorithm was made by taking data from 179,000 junior and high school students in Utah who took the biannual Student Health and Risk Prevention Survey between 2011 and 2017. Among roughly 300 total questions, it asked whether in the past year a student had thought about suicide, planned suicide, or tried to take their own life. The researchers fed the entire 1.2 billion data points into a supercomputer to see if it could find correlation between other factors impacting the youth's lives and their positive responses to the suicide-related questions. Being bullied and harassed online, at or at school, are the top predictors of suicidal thoughts and behaviors. But negative family dynamics, including serious arguments, arguing repeatedly about the same things, and name-calling and insults also create risks that youths will at least contemplate suicide. Lower, but still on the top 10 list of factors, were whether the adolescent felt safe at school, the age when the student first had more than a sip of alcohol, and how each felt about marijuana use. This is interesting. The research noted females and older students' risk rises around 9th or 10th grade were at higher risk of suicidal thoughts and planning compared to males and younger students, though more males died by suicide. How students felt about their grades also predicts suicide attempts. Research from the 2015 Youth Risk Behavior Study has shown that students who feel successful at school are less likely to consider, plan, or attempt suicide, the study says. School health professionals, state officials, and other stakeholders should target suicide prevention activities or provide grade remediation to assist students at risk. Carl Hansen, a BYU public health professor, said if those with particular risk factors can be identified, it might be possible to curb the rate of suicide. I think suicide is certainly a public health concern, and it's something that we all should be thinking about. I think we all have a responsibility to a rising generation, he said. Just knowing that bullying or a volatile home life creates risk provides an opportunity to provide youths with support that can help them, he said, noting that knowledge can empower communities to strengthen families and address issues that impact youths. The results are most usable by school teachers and administrators who may consider how they monitor signs of bullying. They might also build a positive school climate through leadership and developmentally wise services among staff in the classroom, office, playfields, and school bus settings said Michael Barnes, study co-author and associate dean in BYU's College of Life Sciences. I have a link to this in the description of this broadcast. I hope you take a look at it. I think some things jump out right away, and you can see how much a home life can have an impact on suicide ideation. Also stresses at school, bullying, those types of things. And I think it's also important to point out that we've now normalized bullying in our adult society as well. We've normalized it in politics. We've normalized it with adult behavior online. We've normalized it with road rage on the highways. I think that this has an impact on everybody and everybody's mental health. And if our youth cannot see us engaging in positive behavior, even in our disagreements, then my suspicion is that it will have an impact on them and a possibility to influence suicide ideation. We've got to learn how to be adults again and provide an example of how to act as an adult so that our children can mirror that good behavior. This is another way where I feel like society is breaking down because we're embracing the attitudes of the bully. We're celebrating the bully. We're cheering them on. And if we're doing that as adults, our children are watching. And it could mean life or death for some of these children. So this is much more, this fight that we're engaged in is much more than just whether or not we win a political battle or whether or not we save our country. It's also about teaching our children and modeling good behavior for them. So this research is important. It's fascinating. If you have teenagers of this age group, I suggest you read the report, and maybe there'll be some morsels in there that you can take out of here and ask yourself, are you participating in some of these things, or is your student participating in some of these things, and how do you tackle them in a positive way that helps them progress instead of digress? So just some thoughts for you there this morning as we do this JMAC show prep. All right, so that's everything I had planned for you today. Remember, tonight at 9:30 on JMAC Live, we're going to go through the maps, and we'll see which one you think is gerrymandered. We'll do a little Sesame Street. You remember the Sesame Street? One of these things is not like the other. Remember that? We'll do that with the maps, and we'll try and figure out if one of them has been gerrymandered or not, and we'll get your live feedback. I can't wait to hear that. So that'll be available on Facebook, YouTube, LinkedIn, most social media accounts. If you're unable to catch it, you'll be able to catch it on any of those social media. It will stand recorded, and you can watch back later. Please like and share all of my videos. Subscribe wherever you're at. Take a minute and go to jmcfarland.com and become a member of the JMAC Members Club. For as little as $5 a month, you can help me bring this content to you on a regular basis. And you also get great rewards for becoming a member of the club. I don't just leave you empty-handed. Access to all kinds of fun stuff and books and webinars and all kinds of stuff. So find out more at jmcfarland.com. In the meantime, I hope you have a wonderful day. And again, catch me tonight live, 9:30 p.m. Mountain Standard Time for JMAC Live. Everybody, thanks again.